praise God for that. If you guys want to open up your Bibles, dacă vreți să deschideți Biblia în seara aceasta, cuvântul va fi din Matei, capitolul 6, de la versetele 25 la 34. So if you guys want to open up your Bibles, the sermon for tonight is going to be from Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 through 34. I'm just going to read verses as we go through them, or as I touch on them. So, wow. So how are you? Good? Praise God. Amen. I know you guys are probably sitting there looking at me and thinking, wow, right? Look at how muscular Kalina is, right? Or look at that big head that Kalina has, right? That must mean he's pretty smart, right? There's got to be something in that big head of his, right? Did I tell you that when I was a kid, Mom used to buy me clothes that would fit my body, but my head was so big and out of proportion to the rest of my body that, like, you could hear the clothes cracking as I try to put it over my head. So maybe you guys are sitting there and you're thinking, you know, Kalin, I'm sure Kalin has it all figured out, right? I mean, look, he's up there, he's preaching, right? He must know the answer to all the questions. He must have life figured out. Everything must be going just great for him, right? Surprise, surprise. So I've been speaking and I've been preaching for a while now. It's been a few years. But I definitely don't think it's a natural gift. And let me tell you why. I remember the first time I ever preached in church. I remember coming up here, preparing, you know, getting my sermon ready, getting my notes, having everything set up, the microphone at the right height and everything. And I looked over the church and there were hundreds of people, right? Hundreds of people. And on the outside, I think I looked pretty calm, right? Everything looked normal. It's not like I was twitching or anything like that. But my right leg started to do this. I don't know if you guys could see what's going on, but my right leg started to just, like, jiggle, like, and I could not stop it. It was just, it had, like, a mind of its own and just started going, and it would not stop. And thank goodness we had one of those big wooden pulpits back then, and nobody could see what was going on, but the whole time I was like, the leg was just doing this, right? And then I don't know if it was that time or another time. I remember once again being up at the pulpit and getting ready to preach. And I remember opening up my Bible, and I wanted to give an illustrate one of the points. So I was going to read a passage to kind of back it up. And I flipped to the right page and I looked at the Bible. And the writing disappeared. The writing, all I could see was white. All I could see was just a blank page and no writing on the pages at all. And why? Because of anxiety. Anxiety. I was anxious. I never, believe it or not, I've never liked being up in front of people. I've never liked being in front of large crowds. I've never enjoyed public speaking like some people do. I always liked being at the drums because you can be loud, but you can hide behind a whole bunch of other people, you know? You can make a lot of noise, but nobody has to see you. You could just be there in your own little bubble, in your own little world, just you with God, and not deal with this thing that, for me, causes so much anxiety, which is being in front of people and speaking in front of people. And that's what I want to talk about tonight. I want to talk about anxiety. And this is probably the classic passage about anxiety. And again, sorry about the coughing, but I just have this weird cough that won't stop. So if you guys are in Matthew, we're gonna just take the verses from 25 through 34, and we're just gonna see what Jesus says about anxiety and how to approach anxiety, how to deal with anxiety, how to fix anxiety, what we should think about anxiety, because Jesus actually has a lot to say about it. So let me read the first couple of verses, verses 25 through 26, where he starts by telling them. He says, "Therefore I tell you, Don't worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Isn't life more than food and the body more than clothing? Consider the birds of the sky. They don't sow or reap or gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Aren't you worth more than they? So here's the thing. We're going to talk about things that are more than and things that are less than. Because I think we as a species, we as human beings are just very, very gifted at taking small things and making them into really, really big things, right? We're good at taking molehills and turning them into mountains. That is a gift that almost everybody out there has. And Jesus says that there are things in life that are more than, and by consequence, there are things that are less than. And I think too often we focus on the things that are less than, and we lose sight of the things that are more than, the things that Jesus would want us to focus on. So, as our you know, dear president says, you know, we have this gift of making things huge, you know? We take small things and we make them big. And that's one of the first things that we do. We take small things and we make them big. But Jesus says life is more than. Life is more than these small things that so often get in our way and so often cause us anxiety. He says life is more than that. And we'll look at like the small things that we make into bigger things. For instance, I brought this bottle of water. And it's about a half a cup of water. And if you blow this up and you turn it into just droplets of water, there's like, I don't know, 6 trillion, 10 trillion droplets of water in here, right? Doesn't seem like much. But if you spread those 10 trillion droplets of water over about seven blocks, they turn into fog. And that fog is thick enough to shut down an airport. This little amount of water can ground a plane. This little amount of water can shut down an airport. This little amount of water can turn people's lives upside down when we blow it up into something bigger than it needs to be. We have this gift of turning small things into big things. We also have this unfortunate gift of making unimportant things into important things. In fact, I remember going to school, and I remember one year in particular. I remember complaining to mom and complaining to dad about all the homework that I'd been given. We barely started the school year, and our teacher gave us so many book reports and so many projects that we needed to work on, and so much homework that we had to do by certain dates. And I was just overwhelmed and complaining and upset and anxious about all these things and worried about what it would mean for me and how it would affect my life. But do you know what grade I'm talking about? Sixth grade. It was in sixth grade. And looking back on it right now, you know, how much did did worrying about those book reports and that homework and all that stuff, I made it into something so important, like it was going to affect my life. I remember one of my junior high school teachers telling us that, you know, the things that we do in junior high, the classes that we take, the grades that we get over there, you know, are going to follow us the rest of our life, and they're going to impact the college that we go to, and they're going to impact the jobs that we get. Junior high, mind you. I was in seventh grade. Lies. All lies. Nobody looks at your junior high school grades, right? I mean, get good grades, kids, but, you know, don't like go crazy, you know? Like, don't let it freak you out. So we make unimportant things into things that are super important. We take fun things and we make them burdensome. Like we do this. Like we take things that should be fun, things that should be enjoyable, and we make them into burdens. You know, like announcements, happy things that are happening in our lives. But like, how are we gonna handle the details? How are we gonna tell people? How are we gonna approach this? We make these things that God gives us and should be reasons for joy, and we make them into burdens. Right. So Jesus says that life is more than these small things that we often just start to focus on, and we lose track of the big things. Jesus says that life is more than these small things. But he goes on, and in verse 26, you heard me say that not only does he say that life is more than these small things that trip us up, but you are more. Did you hear that in verse 26? He says, he talks about the birds and how God takes care of them as our Heavenly Father. And he says, you know what? If he takes care of those birds, how much more will he take care of you? You're worth way more than those birds that he takes care of in such an amazing way. So not only is life more than these things, but you are worth more than. And let me tell you a couple of things that you are more than. You, my brother and sister, you're worth more and you are more than the opinions of other people. Amen? You are more than the opinions of other people. I'm 37 years old. I've met so many people come into this church, move out of state, out of country, come as visitors at school in my different classes that I've had. And everybody that I've met formed an opinion about me. Some people liked me, some people didn't like me. You know what? I was thinking about this. All of their opinions, they don't pay my bills. Let's think of this practically. Like, how much of an impact do their opinions, and both good and bad, unfortunately, but like somebody has a good opinion about me or somebody has a bad opinion about me, right? Like, how does it really affect me, or how much does it really affect who I am ultimately, right? Ultimately, tomorrow, I'm still going to get up and I'm still going to go to work. I'm still going to do my job. I'm still going to come home. I'm still going to pay my rent. I'm still going to have to buy groceries and everything. And John's opinion about me, Mary's opinion about me, Barbara's opinion about you really doesn't change any of that, right? So how important is it really, their opinion about you, if it can't change anything in your life, right? So you are more than what people think about you. But you know, you are also more than what you think of yourself. By nature, I think I can be kind of a glass half empty kind of person, and I can fall into bouts of real negativity, and especially about myself. So my tendency, I told you, I get anxious when I speak in front of people. So normally, after a Sunday night, after I speak in front of the church, my routine would be to then go home and to start thinking about all the things that I messed up. To start thinking about like all the words that I didn't say right. To start thinking about all the things that I forgot to put into my sermon. And I'd beat myself up. And those thoughts and those thoughts that I created in my head, or those thoughts that I listened to that maybe came from a different source, would make me think that I am less than, and that I'm not worthwhile, that I'm not good enough, that I'm not good enough to do what Jesus said that all of us are supposed to do, which is to be able to say that Jesus Christ is God, that Jesus Christ changed my life, that I was a sinner and that he forgave me, and that I stand up here before you, not because of who I am, but because of who he is. Not because of what I've done, but because of what Jesus Christ has done in my life. And so I am more than what I think of myself. And you are more than what you think of yourself. Because somebody paid an amazing price for you. Somebody gave their life for you. The Son of the Living God gave his life for you. So he paid a price and he put a worth, like something worthwhile in you that nobody can take away. You are more than what you think of yourself. You are more than your past failures. You are more than the guilt that you might feel sitting in this church tonight. You are more than the mistakes that you've made in the past. You are more than the burden that you're carrying. You are more than the guilt that you might be feeling. You are more than the worries and the problems that you're carrying with you right now. You are more than all of that, Jesus says. And in Zechariah 2:8, he says, whoever touches you, he's talking about you, by the way, God is saying that whoever touches you touches the apple of his eye. Whoever touches you touches the apple of his eye. I don't know if there's a part in our body that is more sensitive than our eye, right? Can you imagine somebody coming with their finger and trying to poke you in the eyeball, right? Like, would you just sit there and like let them do that? You can't, right? Like, your instincts just would go crazy. And Jesus says, somebody touching you, somebody being evil towards you is the same as somebody touching his eye. That is how much he cares about you. So you are more, church, and Jesus Christ would want you to say that. But it's not just that. So it's not just that life is more than, that you are more than, but you know, there are some things that we can do and some things that we can't do. If we read in the next couple of verses, verses 27 through 30, if you guys want to follow along, it says, can any of you add one moment to his lifespan by worrying? Can you add anything to your life by being anxious? And why do you worry about your clothes? Observe how the wildflowers of the field grow. They don't labor or spin thread. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all of his splendor was adorned like one of these. And if that's how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and thrown into the furnace tomorrow, won't he do much more for you, you of little faith? So the second point is, who can do what? That might sound confusing at first, but play along with me for a little bit. In verse 27, Jesus says, okay, fine. So maybe you're a worrywart. Maybe you get anxious. Maybe you're Colleen, right? But by being worried about something, by being anxious about something, can you really change anything? Can you really help your situation at all? Can you add, if you're worried about being short, right? Can you add an inch to your height by just being worried about it all day long? And obviously the answer is no, that you cannot do that. And anxiety and worrying about things is as effective at changing your situation as a stick of gum is to solving world hunger, right? Like it's you're basically doing the most ineffective thing that you could possibly do to solve your situation. And Psalm 13:2 says, how long will I store up anxious concerns within me? Agony in my mind every day. The psalmist says, you know what? As long as I'm being anxious about my situation, as long as I'm just dwelling on that problem, all I'm doing is I'm causing myself agony. Again, you are doing, I am doing basically the most ineffective thing that we could possibly do to help our situation. So what can we do? What are some of the things that we can do if we're anxious? If we find ourselves in a situation that, you know, we're just kind of overwhelmed by anxiety. You know, how about just take a step back? I mean, this is going to be really practical. Just what are some of the practical things that we can do when we find ourselves being anxious? Just take a step back from the situation. Take a step back. See the forest for the trees, right? Take a good look. Be able to analyze. Get a better view on what's actually going on. Because a lot of times when you're right there in the middle of it, you can't figure out what's going on, right? So just take a step back. Say, stop. I'm gonna stop. Take a step back and let me review the situation, right? How about this? Take emotion out of the equation. Emotion oftentimes just clouds our thinking, clouds our minds. So when you find yourself being anxious, a good thing that you can do is just to say, okay, I realize that my emotions are getting the better of me. I realize that this is not who I usually am. Let me, you know, take these emotions out of the equation and let me try to think clearly through the situation. Another thing you could do, acknowledge the anxiety and refuse to give in to it. Acknowledge that you are being anxious. Acknowledge that that's what's happening to you in that situation. Acknowledge that again, like say to yourself, you know, this isn't how I would normally handle the situation. This isn't what I would normally do. It must be the anxiety that is working in me. And refuse to give in to it. And say, if this is anxiety, then I refuse to give in to it. Another thing that you could do, super practical, make a plan. Instead of just sitting there and worrying about what's going to happen, make a plan about what you will do. Instead of worrying about what's going to happen to you, make a plan about what you will do in that situation. Another thing that you could do, talk to a friend. Really, really simple, really, really practical over here. Talk to a friend. Go to a friend and talk to them and open up and say, hey, I am super worried about this. I'm super worried about this test I'm going to take tomorrow. I'm super worried about the situation with my mom and dad. They're fighting all the time. I don't know what's going on. I'm super worried about my relationship with this person or that person. I'm worried about these things. What do you think? Can you help me? Can I just open up to you? Can I just just pour out my heart to you instead of storing all this stuff in? Another thing you could do: get advice from somebody wise. Go to an elder. Go to your parent. Go to a pastor. Go to a leader. Go to somebody that you respect and ask for their advice. Another thing that you could do: get informed on the situation. If it's something technical, there's nothing worse than not knowing what's going to happen, how things work, and there's nothing more freeing than just getting informed on the situation, getting informed on that thing that you're worried about. Another thing, take a nap. Just take a nap, right? Like, instead of just like worrying about it, just say, I'm gonna take a step back. I'm gonna take a nap. I'm gonna relax, get a new perspective when I wake up. And studies have actually shown, scientific studies have shown, that when you're studying for a test, for instance, you will remember the things that you studied for better the next day if you sleep on it than just studying and going in and taking a test. So taking a nap, sleeping, actually helps your brain move things around, jumble things around, look at things from a new perspective. How about this, last but not least, right? And I'm sure you guys could come up with more things, but how about pray? Pray. Sometimes the thing that we should be doing first is the one thing that we don't do. We're anxious, we're worried, we're desperate even, and the thing that is the most powerful tool that we have at our disposal is the one thing that we don't use, and that is prayer. Just going to God and saying, God, I'm racking my brain. I'm up. It's 3 a.m. I feel my heart about to jump through my chest. God, would you just help me? Would you give me the answer? And if you can't give me the answer now, if you won't give me the answer now, Lord, would you just give me peace in this situation? Amen? So what can we do instead? Well, the Word of God tells us that Jesus is concerned even about the grass of the field, right? He says that the way that he adorns the grass of the field, which is here today, and then tomorrow is thrown into the furnace and burnt up, the grass is arrayed, is dressed up better than King Solomon with all of his money and with all of his with all of the things that he had access to. So what does that tell you and me when we're in a situation where we find ourselves being anxious? What that tells me is that God is concerned with even the smallest of the small. If God is concerned with grass, how many of you got up this morning and you were like, I wonder how my grass is doing today? I wonder if my grass is happy. I wonder if my grass is doing okay, right? Probably not many of you. But the Word of God tells us that the Lord, in his infinite wisdom and in his infinite ability, is able to even be concerned about the smallest of the small, even the grass of the field. So if he's concerned about the smallest of the small, what do you think? Is he not concerned about those things that are happening in your life? Is he not concerned about those things that you are dealing with and so anxious about? Not only that, not only is he concerned about it, but God is actively involved in the smallest of the small. He's not just up there thinking about it. He is involved in the smallest detail of the lives of grass and of the birds and of nature and of people who open up themselves to him. But that's the key, and that's the trick in a sense, because God won't barge into those areas of your life that you won't open up to him. If you're sitting here and you're saying, okay, I understand, maybe he is concerned with the smallest details of my life, and maybe he is actively involved in the smallest details out there, but why then am I worried about these things? Why then is this an issue for me? Why then am I having trouble with this? Well, the reality is that Jesus is a gentleman. He won't barge in to those lives that you don't open up to him. If you or I do not invite him into those areas of our lives, then we won't have answers to those areas of our lives. We won't have answers to those things that we're dealing with. So if you're dealing with anxiety, take that step and invite him in and say, Jesus, come into my heart, come into my life, come into the situation that I'm dealing with. And Lord, help me to understand what to do. Help me to understand where to go. Help me to understand how to approach this. And Lord, throughout this, give me peace. And the other thing is, he ends that passage by kind of chastising us, right? He says, you know, if God takes care of the grass, won't he take care of you? Won't he take care of us? You of little faith, right? Because ultimately, that's really what God is ultimately concerned with. He's concerned with me and you developing our faith in him. And the thing that I would like us to consider tonight is that anxiety can be, in a sense, the gym where the strength of your faith is built up. Because if you're sitting there being anxious about something that you have no answers to, if you're sitting there worrying about a problem that you can't solve on your own, and then you go to God and you say, Jesus, look, this is who I am, this is my failing, this is my problem, this is my issue, this is what's going on in my life, Lord, would you help me out? You will see how the God who dresses the grass and feeds the birds is able to clothe you and feed you and answer your problem and intervene in that situation that you're dealing with. And that, my friend, will build up your faith, because you will be able to think back and say, I remember when I was crying. I remember when I was afraid. I remember when I was broken with fear. And I remember even more the way that Jesus Christ intervened in my life and answered my prayer. Amen. Amen. So that is what I think that we can do, instead of just being anxious. And then we'll end this passage by reading verses 31 through 34, where it says, so don't worry, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear? For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be provided for you. Therefore, don't worry about tomorrow, because tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. So what are we to do? What are the final words of advice that Jesus has for his church tonight? First of all, don't act like an unbeliever. And what does that mean? Know that you have a Father. If you and I were not believers in Jesus Christ, then we could say, I'm alone. I have to deal with this problem on my own. But as believers, as the church of Jesus Christ, we can say, I know one thing, and I know that I have a Father who loves me. And I know something beyond that. I know that I have a Father who is able. Not only does he love me, but he is able to help me in the deepest and the darkest problem that I'm facing. Imagine worrying about, you know, paying for a meal. You're at a restaurant and you're just absolutely worried about not having enough money to pay for your dinner. And then you remember that, oh yeah, my daddy owns the restaurant. It's my daddy's restaurant. I mean, it's that kind of situation. It's that ridiculous, really, when you step back and think about things in that way. We have a Father, and our Father is wealthy. I'm not promising you riches. This is not prosperity gospel, you know? That's all junk anyway. But what I'm promising you is that you have a Father who loves you. You have a Father who is deeply concerned about what you are going through tonight. And he would love nothing more than to intervene in your life and to help you resolve that problem, to come alongside of you and to say, I'm here for you. I'm here for you. Colleen, don't worry about it. We're in this together. I will never leave you or forsake you. And in the second part of verse 32, it says that he knows our needs. Not only do we have a Father, not only is he able, but he knows our needs. And my tendency is to focus on the problem, right? My tendency is to focus on my pain. The pain distracts me. The pain confuses me. When I'm in pain, I start to focus on that area that hurts. And our solution would be instead to look to Jesus and to say, Lord, I know that you know my issue. You haven't forgotten me. You haven't overlooked me. You haven't abandoned me. You know exactly what I'm going through. Our Father knows our needs. I'm going to skip to the last thing that he says, and he says, and don't take on more than you have to. He says, you know what? one of the things that we also tend to do is we'll worry about the thing that we have to deal with now, and then we'll worry about the thing that we have to deal with tomorrow, and then we'll worry about the thing that's coming up in a month and in a year and 10 years from now, and we'll just imagine all sorts of things that could be wrong and could go wrong, and our minds will jump to all sorts of conclusions. And the advice that Jesus is giving us tonight is if you find yourself in a place where you're just filled with anxiety, he says, you know what, just focus on dealing with that issue that you're dealing with today. Don't worry about tomorrow. Because not only are the problems enough, you know, for today and enough for tomorrow and enough for, but our God is enough. Our God is sufficient to be able to not only answer your problem today, but to answer your problems tomorrow as well. Amen? And then I'll end with this, which is, it's interesting how backwards the Bible is sometimes. The world works one way, and the Bible works a completely different way. The advice that I would give you is work for one thing and receive the other thing, which is found in verse 33, where he says, "Seek first the kingdom of God, and all these other things will be added to you." Brother and sister, if there's one thing that we can end on, if there's one thing that can encapsulate the advice that the Lord would have for us as a church is, you know what? We have problems in this world, and nobody is denying that problems exist. Nobody's denying that there are real issues and there's real pain, and that as a church, we need to deal with them, right? As a church, we are one body. We are here to pray for one another. We are here to give practical help to one another. But still, the Lord would say, whereas in the world, you go to work and you get a paycheck. You go to work and you get a paycheck, right? You're working for that paycheck. The Lord says, in the kingdom mentality, in the kingdom economy, it's backwards. If you need food, seek first the kingdom. If you need clothing, seek first the kingdom. If you're worried about your job, seek first the kingdom. If you're broken in a relationship, seek first the kingdom. And not because God is selfish and because he wants to be first, because he is just greedy and he's an evil God in some way. But you know why? Because if you seek first the kingdom, and if you focus on your relationship with Jesus Christ, Jesus promises you tonight that he will not only grant you those things of the kingdom that you are seeking, but he will also grant you those other things that you need. He will be there to provide you those clothes that you need, that food on the table that you need. He will be there to mend that relationship that you're worried about. He will be there to answer that prayer, that question, that worry, that anxiety that you're bringing to him. Jesus would say, seek first the kingdom. Seek, work on your relationship with him, and all those other things will be added to you. And that is a promise that he makes to all believers. And I think it's very hard. I mean, we've heard it, and we know it. And on some level, we probably believe that it's true. But how difficult is it really to follow that advice? Because you think, well, nobody's going to pay my rent next month, right? Nobody's gonna be there to, you know, to help me through to do those things that I need to work on. I need to do it. I need to focus on. So I have to sacrifice some things in my life. And the thing that I'm gonna sacrifice is my relationship with the Lord. I'm gonna wake up a little bit early to go to work, which means I can't wake up in time to pray or in time to read my Bible. I'm gonna get that second job to be able to make ends meet, but that means that I'm not going to have time for personal devotion anymore. I'm not going to have time to be a church as much as I used to. And church, I just want to challenge you tonight. Not as a challenge that I'm throwing out, but as a challenge that Jesus Christ is making to all of us. If you're looking around and you're seeing problems, if you're looking around and there are things in your life that you're anxious about, Jesus Christ is saying to you, and he's saying to me, seek first the kingdom. Seek him first. Seek him first, because there is nobody that can answer your needs better than Jesus Christ can. There's nobody that can provide for the things that you need in your life more than he can. And I want to invite you guys to stand up today. And I want to invite the worship team to come up and to just end tonight in a time of contemplation and in a time of prayer. I believe that all of us have things that we're dealing with and things that we are worried about. But I want, as we end tonight's program, to say, Lord, I'm bringing my anxiety, I'm bringing my worry to the foot of the cross. I'm laying it down. I'm giving it to you, Lord. I've battled long enough. I've worried long enough. I've sought answers on my own long enough. Lord, tonight I'm coming to you. I'm doing something different. I'm bringing my problem to you. I'm bringing my worry to you. I'm bringing my anxiety to you. I'm bringing everything that I'm dealing with to you. I'm laying it at the cross, Jesus, because I know this for a fact, that nobody can answer my needs. Nobody can answer my requests. Nobody can answer my questions and provide for me the way that you do. I will trust in you. I will put my faith in you. I will believe, Lord, that you will come through for me. And I believe that as we do that, Jesus Christ, whether your problem is big, whether it's small, whether people know about it, or whether it's a secret that you've been holding on to by yourself, He will answer your need. And I believe that we will have testimonies about the way that Jesus Christ came through for all of us. So let's sing this last song. And as we sing, just come to the Lord and just lay our burdens down and watch and wait for the Lord to answer them. Amen.